There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. This is Dave Schrader along with my co-host and producer Tim Dennis back with you for another week. We have a great program lined up for you this evening. From the Sci-Fi Channel's hit TV show, Steve Gonzalez is with us. We're going to open up the phone line so that we can take your calls. I have a lot of emailed questions that have been sent in to us. However, during the show, we will not be able to get to any more of the emailed questions. So if you didn't get a chance to email one in, you can give us a call. We're going to open the phone lines at 612-375-1400. Again, that's 612-375-1400. I'd also like to mention again real quickly that there's a great place for you to go online if you're a fan of the paranormal and looking for a great place to make connections with other investigators or to share your paranormal stories. You can go to myparaspace.com. That's myparaspace.com, myparaspace. Fantastic place to go. We do have a very special edition of the show that was on last week that's a downloadable-only show. Did not live air. It's only available on the internet, and it was with the gentleman that wrote the book The Fog about the Bermuda Triangle. We do have two copies of that book to give away. If you'd like to get a copy of that book, the first two callers to call in and say, I'd like a copy of The Fog, we'll get those copies. Give your name and address to the beautiful phone ladies that we have working this evening, and they'll be able to help you out. We'll get those out. We also have a copy of the book from Marianne Winkowski, our guest from last week, As Alive, So Dead, Investigating the Paranormal. It's signed by Marianne Winkowski, and if you'd like to win this book, I've got a couple of really cool little questions for you to answer. You're going to have to email in your answers, and the first one to get it right will win the copy of the book. The questions are, who stars on the television show Ghost Whisperer? Give me the full name of the character. And who is our special call-in guest from last week? If you can get all three of those questions correct, and you're the first one to answer them, by emailing me at dave@darknessradio.com, I'll send out a copy of the book. We'll also mention you on the website and let everybody know who won the book. Right now, though, let's go to our special guest for the evening, Mr. Steve Gonzalez. Are you there with us, Steve?
Hey, Dave, what's going on?
Great. Thanks a lot for joining us. I'm glad you can be here. Now, I want to get started in this. I want to thank you very much. Steve's out on the road right now. They're getting ready to go film one of the episodes, and he's had to drive through blinding snow from what I was told today. Is that right?
Yeah, we drove through New York, and I guess New York says that it's an all-time high for them.
Holy cow.
We got 27 inches in the past just overnight.
Wow.
Which is their all-time high, so it was pretty dangerous. But you know, we only made it to Pennsylvania. We're shacked up in Pennsylvania tonight. We were hoping to make it all the way to Ohio, but roads didn't let us.
Can you tell us where you're heading off to film for the next episode?
Yeah, we're going to Ohio. Not to Ohio. We're going to Oklahoma, and we're going to be about 30 miles out of Oklahoma City, and we'll be doing a private residence and a restaurant there, a restaurant inn.
Fantastic, and that'll be part of the next 9 episodes that are going to be aired?
That'll be part of the 9 episodes that starts in March. And from there, we go straight to Colorado, and we do a nice investigation in Colorado to wrap up this season.
Okay, so you're doing the last 2 episodes right now?
Yep, we're doing the last 2, one in Oklahoma City and one in Colorado.
Okay, awesome. Now, I'd like to mention, too, the reason that we're having Steve on, one of his pet projects, besides being on the TV show, is the Taps Para magazine. This is an awesome magazine. If you have the chance to pick it up, you can order it online by going to Taps, that's TAPS, Paramag, PARAMAG.com. TAPSParamag.com, and it's a monthly magazine and publication that comes out, covers all different aspects of the paranormal, and it's basically hosted by the guys from the TAPS TV show or Ghost Hunters TV show, so you can send in questions, you can send in photographs that you've taken that you believe might be spirits. They'll actually look at and analyze them. There's articles from writers. As a matter of fact, I'm one of the staff writers on there. There's questions and answers from the TAPS guys, so it's a fantastic magazine to pick up if you haven't had the chance. You can go online and order that. And Steve, what kind of inspired you guys to start off with a magazine?
Magazine? You know what? I'd always tinkered with the idea of putting some kind of publication out. Thought about it, and I did a radio interview about a year and a half ago, and the guy said to me, he said, "Did you ever think about putting out a newspaper?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, we should think about that." And it kind of progressed from a newspaper to a magazine, and then I went to Jay and Grant and said, "Hey, guys, you know what? Why don't we put out a TAPS magazine, not just a paranormal magazine, but do TAPS, make up some behind the show, behind the scenes stuff for the show, and plug some good stuff." And so we did. It took us a little while to get it up and rolling, but we got it rolling, and it's been a lot of fun. And we're working on a lot of nice changes for it right now, so it's going to get even better.
And there's, what are they on, like the sixth or seventh issue at this point?
We're on the eighth issue.
Eighth issue.
The ninth issue will be coming out shortly. But we just did our eighth issue, and it's awesome. We get lots of great feedback. People love it. They love the range that we cover.
Now, is this available on newsstands anywhere else besides on the East Coast?
No, not just yet. We got it on 2,000 newsstands throughout the East Coast. We're looking at distributors right now that'll hopefully, you know, broaden that for us so we can reach out to the West Coast and some of the Midwest and, you know, the middle states.
And you're having their sneak peeks in there where they'll actually talk about what you guys are doing behind the scenes, filming the show and going on?
Right. For the fans of the show, for people that aren't necessarily fans of paranormal or aren't interested in paranormal, but, you know, just like the television show, like the guys on the show and girls in the show, we have a section there called Sneak Peeks, and it's basically just, you know, behind the scenes, photos that were taken by us during investigations and while filming, and they get to see, you know, behind the scenes, the guys that put on the show, the directors and the camera guys, what they're all about. It's a lot of fun. It's really like the keyhole into the show that everybody wishes they had for their favorite TV show.
Great. Now, I know one other thing, if I can mention this, they've just started making available with the magazine. If you own a business out there, perhaps a ghost tour business, or you've got psychic hotlines, you've got anything like that where you'd be interested in advertising, TAPS Para Magazine is actually going to be offering advertising in their magazine so that you can be seen by all of the fans of the Ghost Hunters TV show. You can be out there in front of everybody. You can contact the magazine again by, is it writing to Dr. Bluestroke? Would that be the best way to contact him for the advertising, Steve?
Yep, that would be. That's right.
Okay,
yep.
You can write to Dr., and they spell that out, D-O-C-T-O-R, Blue, B-L-U-E, Stroke, S-T-R-O-K-E, at AOL.com. That's Dr. Bluestroke at AOL.com. If you have anything that you'd like to advertise in there, if you've got equipment, EMF detectors, any of the other cool little stuff that you see the Ghost Hunters using live on the show that you'd like to advertise, please let us know, and we can make sure that we can get those into the magazine for you as well.
Yep.
Now, why don't we start getting into some of the questions we've had here from the emailers, Steve?
Sure.
First question I have is from Lisa in North Carolina, and she'd like to know, what investigation from the Ghost Hunters TV series has been your favorite, and would you consider returning to the Armory for any further investigations?
Favorite investigation? I have two. I loved the Armory because there was so much activity going on there. It was really amazing. Like, we had so much stuff. It was really the first investigation we had where the crew of the show got to interact with these things as well. Before that, they were all kind of like, maybe this stuff is real, maybe not. And then they started experiencing it. And we had one camera guy named Dave Hobbs. He was a camera operator back then. Now he's our director of photography. But there was one part where I'm not supposed to interact with the people on the other side of the camera, but there was one part where it was so intense, the swirling energy above us and the cold spots, that I just grabbed Dave's hands and I said, "Dave, you got to feel this." I threw him in it, and he was like, "Oh, my God. Never felt anything like this in my life." That was a really intense case. I would say the Armory case was my favorite for activity, but the battleship we did is definitely my all-time favorite, just from a learning aspect. You know, we were in places that people haven't stepped foot in 50 years, and they let us have run of that whole battleship. We went way down into the bowels. We found stuff from, you know, Pearl Harbor papers. We found all kinds of stuff. It was awesome. Those are my two favorite. And would I go back to the Armory if they wanted us to? Absolutely.
Where would you like to go in the future with the show?
You know, if I could get over my fear of flying, I would want to go to Europe for sure. The castles in Ireland. I would like to do the catacombs. I'd like to do the bogs. I'd like to do everywhere in Europe that is supposedly haunted. I hear that the spirits out there are a lot more interactive. They kind of aren't squeamish. They'll come right out and let you know they're there and what they're doing. So I'd love to get out there.
Well, sure, in Europe they can show naked women on TV, so I would guess the ghosts are a little bit more open, wouldn't you? Now, I have a question in here from Jennifer. It looks like Skelsey, and I apologize if I'm butchering your last name, but it says, Steve, what motivates you to hunt ghosts, and what's your favorite part of being an investigator?
Whew, that's a good question. Well, my motivation has kind of changed over the years. In the beginning, it was when I was a kid, I was really, really loved, you know, my favorite thing in the world was to sit around and tell ghost stories of your friend and scare the crap out of each other and, you know, be afraid to walk home at night because you're so scared. And to me, that translated into a lot of fun. Once you were home safe and you knew no ghosts or anybody was coming to get you, you know, it was a lot of fun looking back on it. And that's what started me in the beginning, was just kind of the adult version of that adrenaline rush, that fun. And now I really do it because I every time I experience something paranormal, it's just the most amazing thing in the world. So it's just a drive to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And I also love to, you know, now that we're in a capacity, a team where, you know, we're called in to help people, helping people is awesomely amazing. Carries over from my police career. You know, now I get to help people in the paranormal. People are afraid of what's going on, and if you just educate them, let them know what's happening, and it can't really hurt them, you know, you ease their fears a lot, and you really help a lot of people. It's a lot of fun.
When Steve Compier from My Paraspace has a question, too. He wants to know when the back nine episodes for the season are going to start airing.
That's a good question. That actually we just got the word on that very recently, and it's going to be March 29th will be the first airing of these specific shows, these back nine, they're called.
I think I read that they're going to start in February doing mini marathons from season one and the beginning part of season two. Is that right?
They are. I believe, actually, this Wednesday or next Wednesday, next Wednesday they start. From 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. will be a marathon of Ghost Hunters every Wednesday until the new nine episodes air.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Our very special guest is Steve Gonsalves from the Ghost Hunters television show on the Sci-Fi Channel, and you're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
I'm Teresa from White Bear Lake, and I needed to refinance my home and do it fast. I contacted a lot of mortgage companies that made promises and commitments that they just couldn't keep. Then I was referred to Keith Troutman. Keith was knowledgeable and worked fast. He listened to what I needed, and within 7 days, we closed on my loan. Other companies promised to save me up to $500 a month. Keith, however, found a program that was right for me and saves me over $1,300 a month. I would recommend Keith Troutman and Tri Minnesota Mortgage to anyone.
Thanks, Teresa. This is Keith Troutman, president and owner of Tri Minnesota Mortgage, and no matter what your situation is, we're here for you. We locate financing programs other brokers cannot. Most lenders use 10 to 20 investors to fund their loans. We have a national investor base of over 70 that ensures you'll get the best loan program available to meet your needs. Call me today at 952-223-5000. I know I can help. Right now, with qualifying loans, we are sending you on a 7-day cruise for two. Certain restrictions apply. Check out our website at cruiseatclose.com for more details. Or call 952-223-5000. That's 952-223-5000.
This is Dave Schrader from the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Each week, we delve into the web of the unknown and deal with a lot of scary subjects. But nothing makes my blood run colder or scares me more than dealing with technology. That's why we turned to the experts when we wanted our website for the show set up and maintained. In the studio with me is Don Raleigh, owner of Evolve Systems. Don and his exceptional staff were easy to work with and made setting up our site a breeze. Don, what is it that sets you apart from other web developers?
Well, Dave, we make your business visions come to life by creating, maintaining, and hosting all of your internet needs. We do this by listening to our clients. We offer programs and price plans to fit any budget. And Dave, I mean any budget. Call us at 651-628-4000 and put us to work for you.
Call Don at Evolve Systems, 651-628-4000. I did, and I couldn't be happier with the results.
That's because we take the ugh out of technology, Dave. Call us today at 651-628-4000 or visit us on the web at www.evolve-systems.com. Serving the entire United States. That's Evolve Systems. helping you to manage change. Cheers.
If you, read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
Jonathan the Impaler Sharkey is a self-proclaimed vampire who wants to be the next governor of Minnesota. He's quite serious about it, actually. The Impaler joins us live tonight from Minneapolis. Mr. Sharkey, thanks a lot for coming on.
Tucker, please call me Jonathan. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. I like to call you the Impaler. So you're a vampire. Whose blood do you feed on, and how do you do that, and why?
I do not feed on men. I'm sorry. I just can't imagine myself wrapping my teeth around a man. However, I would love to get a hold of Bin Laden and impale him.
Well, wouldn't you make a frisky governor? Don't forget to vote in November. And welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. This is Dave Schrader, your host, along with Tim Dennis, co-host and producer. We've got on the line with us this evening Mr. Steve Gonsalves from the Ghost Hunters TV series. Steve, we have a call waiting for you, if you don't mind taking a call now.
Sure.
Okay. April, we've got you on the line with Steve. Are you there?
I am.
Okay. Steve, can you hear?
Yeah. Hi, April.
Hi, Steve. I just had a quick question about EVP. I've noticed that on some episodes of Ghost Hunters that white noise is used, while on others it isn't. In your experience, do you seem to be more successful in capturing EVP with or without the use of white noise?
That's a good question. We actually studied that phenomenon quite in pretty great extent. We used white noise, and we took the results from white noise against results with no white noise, and they seemed about the same. They come whether or not the white noise is there or not. What we use white noise for is to kind of set kind of like a bar, a tone bar. So that becomes our stagnant tone. And the white noise will drown out all things like bumps, doors, openings, things like that. And you can draw the EVPs from that and not worry about all the background noise. That's what we use it for. We don't think it generates EVP or makes it easier for spirits to communicate.
Thank you very much for calling in tonight, April. We'll make sure that we get you one of the copies of signed Taps magazine by Steve. Appreciate the calls in. And again, if you have a question for Steve you'd like answered this evening, our phone lines are open at 612-375-1400. Again, that's 612-375-1400. Next question we have for you here comes from Miss Lola Bunny from the Taps Bulletin Boards. Her name is Chris, I guess. It says, Steve, loyal fan and fellow ghost hunter here. She wants to know, when Brian came back, how did you feel since you guys were portrayed as the best of buds throughout the show before he left? And did they portray your true feelings in the Brian's Back episode? She's looking forward to your answers and can't wait to see the new episodes.
Brian did, they portrayed it really well on the show. He did leave the show, and for the same reasons that, they let him voice on the show. And we were all apprehensive to have him back. I think most of the crew weren't really wanting him back, but Jay and Grant are very generous, and, they've given Brian 5 or 6 tries. Since I've been at Taps in the 6 years, he's been close to being in and out at least 4 or 5 different times, and they've allowed him back every time. We were all apprehensive. You know, he just as it's stated, just as he says, he is a liar. He lies a lot, and, he's trying to curb that. And he is a lot better this night episodes, and, we catch him a lot less behavior like that, and I think he's coming along pretty good. And if we get signed for another season, I think he'll probably be there with us, too.
Well, great. Have you heard anything about coming on for a third season yet?
I haven't, no. I think they need to check the ratings for this back nine. And if they're strong enough, then they'll sign for a season 3, I'm sure.
Well, I'd like to congratulate you guys. I hear you were just stomping in the ratings for the first part of the season. That's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. We did really good. The Halloween special did good. Season 2, did phenomenally well. And everybody's happy with it. And the back nine, I mean, we've heard a little words from Sci-Fi saying that they think they're our best episodes yet, the best put together. and the best looking and the best evidence and everything. So they're really pleased with him.
Now, aside from being a member of TAPS, you also run your own paranormal group, is that right?
Yes.
How can people contact you if they're looking for help in your area?
They can just go to newenglandparanormal.com, and they can contact any one of the staff members. I have a guy, Mike Dion, who runs the team for me. He's my case manager, and pretty much when I'm on the road, takes care of everything. And he's awesome. He knows a tremendous amount of the paranormal. And between myself and him and the rest of our team, we'll be able to answer any question and help you with any problem you have.
Great. So even while you're doing the show and you're more along the lines with TAPS, there is still somebody at New England Paranormal that can help.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's good to hear. Now, we have another question here from Donna in Burlington, Iowa. She says, can you talk to us a little bit about the proper use of EMF detectors in an investigation? What are some of the common non-paranormal explanations for high EMF? And how can you tell the difference between these readings that indicate those readings and the ones that indicate paranormal activity?
That's a good question. Well, really, the whole EMF thing is people have to understand it's basically a theory. It's not really true and tried science as far as we're going to capture or find these ghosts in with our EMF detectors. What it is most researchers, TAPS included, believe that spirits are energy, and that energy will manipulate the electromagnetic field in the atmosphere. So we're using the EMF detector to pick up that fluctuation in the field. Once you get a fluctuation, we call that a spike on our meter. You take that spike and you're looking for a pretty high spike. If you get your base reading in the room and it's 0.3, a spike of 1.5, 2.0, you may want to look into it. And what you do first is you look for all natural causes. You look for, actually it wouldn't be natural because electricity is man-made, so it would be unnatural causes, really. But you're looking for all of that. You're looking for, surging electrical outlets. You're looking for electrical boxes that are improperly wired. You're looking for a copper piping. Some researchers say the limestone can give you false readings. Anything really that runs on electricity or carries electricity could give you a false reading.
Now, would you also, if you're picking up a reading, is it a good idea to stand still for a few seconds and see if it starts to fluctuate? So see if the magnetic field is moving along in the room? Or is it just a stagnant? That would probably give you more of an idea if it's an electrical outlet or something plugged in, correct?
Right. What we do and what I train all the new members is that when you get a reading, you stop. You stop moving completely. And you need to take your EMF gauge and move it in every axis that you can. You need to go up as high as you can. You need to go left, right. You need to go down as low as you can with your EMF gauge. And you want to make sure that your reading dissipates. If it's 4.0 and you're holding it in front of you, and you start to move up and it goes 3.0, 2.0, then you know that the reading is not coming from above. And that goes the same way for each direction. You want to make sure that the reading isn't coming from the direction you're going, which would let you know that it's just a stagnant ball of energy right in front of you. And if it starts raising, if your spike starts going 3.0, 4.0, 5.0, as you move up, you'll know that's where your reading is coming from, and you can trace it to a source like an improperly wired ceiling or something like that.
Do you ever have the fear that maybe you're picking up part of the team is downstairs doing an investigation and they've got their equipment, you're upstairs, could you be crossing each other's paths and picking up their electronic feedback?
You probably could be, and that would be when you do your axis, when you move it on the axis, you would know where that reading is coming from. If you have that suspicion and you move it towards the floor and your reading starts to dissipate, it doesn't rise, then you'll know that it's not coming from below you.
All right. Now, one other question I had for you regarding the equipment for myself. I was, on the sci-fi boards quite a bit and on the TAPS bulletin boards reading along, and one of the questions that always came up that I never really saw addressed from any of the TAPS members, I know that you use the little IR thermometers.
Right.
They look like a little gun, shoots a laser point.
Yep.
Now, that doesn't actually measure the ambient air around it. It measures what it's hitting.
Surface,
so when Brian's swinging it around, I got a cold spot right here, isn't he most likely hitting the back wall? That might be where the cold spot is, or a window somewhere, or...
He could be. There are thermometers out there that do measure the ambient temperature. They send out a radar cone, and it kind of measures that for you.
Right.
We do use that on occasion. We haven't in a while. The one we use is a surface thermometer, and we take that with a grain of salt. It's really a tool that's useful, but you do have to be careful of those things.
Just looks a little cooler on TV?
Yeah, it does look cooler on TV. The producers of the show love when we use those gadgets. But if you'll notice, I don't know if they edit it this way all the time, but whenever we get that reading, the cold spot, like you don't want to take that as a ghost. Like if you're scanning and, in the direction of this wall, you get 50 degrees when you're in a 75-degree room, you're going to want to not just go, oh, I have a cold spot, 50 degrees, there's got to be a ghost there or something. You got to track it and find it and feel that cold spot for yourself. So that is more or less just giving you we use it just to give us the basic direction to go in. If we're scanning it everywhere, we got to use it to get us somewhere, that's for sure.
Now we have Jennifer on the line. Looks like she has a question about the IR thermometer as well. Jennifer, are you with us?
I am. Hi, Dave. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Jennifer.
My question is that usually you guys use the IR thermometer, and we were wondering why you use that to take the surface temperatures as opposed to a thermocoupler type, which actually checks the direct air temperature. And it sounds like you might have actually already answered some of that. Sorry.
Well, the ones that take the direct, the ones you're talking about, I believe you actually have to kind of hold those with you or put on your body, and it kind of, they have a pretty small field that I've seen. They have maybe a 2 or 3 foot field. And, I feel that if you're going to be within 2 feet of this cold spot, you're going to end up walking into it anyway or feeling it. So, I don't know. I like the ones where you can get a distant reading from where you're at. Everybody's right. The surface thermometers aren't really the way to go. But, unfortunately, that's the only ones we have right now.
All right. Fair enough. Got a couple more emailed in questions here we have for you. Now, Stacy Surrett from Minnesota has 3 different questions for you. First off, she wants to know, you've been part of some really challenging locations on the show. What location has been the hardest to set up and analyze, and why?
Set up and analyze. Tell you what, we have an investigation coming up on this back nine. We went to an asylum, Waverly Hills Asylum in Kentucky, and it was absolutely amazing. But we were there for so long, days and days investigating, that it literally took us a good 3 or 4 days to review all the evidence, and that was really mind-boggling. Like, our eyes were done after that, and that was probably the hardest case to analyze. Hardest case to set up would have to be the battleship. We had to cover a whole battleship, and running the wires around that place was not fun. All the pipes and the little walkways, and that was a pain in the butt.
Plus all that metal, I would guess that'd kind of distort some of your readings, wouldn't it?
We didn't use the thermometer at all for any, I mean, we used it for, television so that the audience could see that we do have it, but we didn't, really base any real readings off of that. And EMF gauges as well, we were getting really crazy readings. Everything there was basically just sensory perception, and we used the thermal there, and we didn't really capture much on the thermal, but we did use that there as well.
Okay. Stacy also wants to know, she says, I know the magazine is your baby, and I'm sure you're really proud of it. What kind of expansions would you like to see? Any new directions, articles, photos, and such? And what kind of challenges have you had in putting the magazine together?
It's been really, really hectic putting the magazine together. We did it really grassroots. We took fans of the show and close friends and said, "Hey, everybody, we're gonna do a magazine. Anybody that wants to help or contribute, let's do it." So we took graphic work and things from people, but all the writing is done. The base writing is done by professionals. And, they have guidelines. They do it very... One great thing about the magazine is it's very factual, news-oriented. Like, if we do a story on orbs, we don't just write an opinion piece on orbs. We contact scientists to figure out exactly what they are. Could they be, representation of spirits? Could they recreate in laboratories? Like, we get down to the facts. And that's what's so awesome about the magazine. It's probably the first paranormal magazine to have news standards. And expansions, I want to see more color pages soon. We've started, with a free staff, and we've had to build it all of ourselves, and we've had to stick with black and white pages for the most part because of production costs. And now we're looking into going more color pages, and hopefully within a few issues, maybe another 5 or 6 issues, we'll be in a full color magazine, which is where we hope to be. And we also want to tighten up all the loose ends really closely. Every once in a while, we'll have a typo or a story kind of edited a little weird, and maybe a picture doesn't quite match something, and some of the images are grainy. But that really comes from, you know, not having much advertising in the magazine, grassroots, everyone, you know, doing it almost for free, getting paid very little, if anything. And it's hard to be strict with people that you're not paying very well. You know what I mean?
That is true. Now, so, if you do have an interest in ordering the magazine, again, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, you can go to tapsparamag.com, and you can order the magazine direct from there. And if you're on the East Coast, Steve said that they've got it in about 2,000 different newsstands across the East Coast. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Fantastic. The next question we have for you here is from Belle in Benson, Minnesota, and she'd like to know, has there ever been an incident when you were really scared or felt compelled to leave a place and fought the urge but stayed through it?
Hmm. So a lot of times you're scared, and you got to try to make it fun for yourself. You're scared, and once you kind of know your limitations, okay, you know, you look at 300 cases and you study them, and you see, okay, in these 300 cases, there's really only been one or two instances where people have been injured. And the injuries mostly come from human fault. They trip or they run and you know, hurt themselves. Never really comes from paranormal. Maybe you see little pinches or scratches, but once you realize that nothing really bad is going to happen to you, if you could deal with the psychological fact that you're seeing, you know, people that are dead, or you're seeing objects move with no physical manipulation, then you realize that it's not too scary, and you can get through it. There was a time, probably 4 years ago, I was investigating in Enfield, Connecticut, and there was a case that was very bad. I was getting the physical inductions that was making me vomit and giving me headaches and trying to take over my respiratory system, making it hard for me to breathe. In that particular case, I saw a coffee table move and flip over, saw spontaneous fires.
Are you sure Brian just hadn't been eating Mexican food before you guys went on the investigation?
This was actually a couple of years before I even met Brian. So Brian wasn't there with me. This was just me and my team. And in that particular case, about 4 in the morning, I actually told the family, I said, guys, I got to get out of here. Like, I'm trying, but I can't stick around here. I apologize. And me and the family, it was a grandfather, and, you know, parents and a daughter, and we all went to Motel 6 together and kind of shacked up in the same hotel room and shared some ghost stories.
Steve, that's for a whole different show, okay?
Yeah.
This isn't Dr. Phil or Jerry here.
No, we shacked up, just laid around and told ghost stories and, you know, woke up the next morning and parted ways. But that was one of the cases I was pretty scared and I wanted to get out of there.
Did you end up finding out, was it a demonic, was it an inhuman, was it...
I would definitely suspect demonic, definitely, with, you know, it was giving me the smells, all the, you know, burning flesh, feces, vomit, the family ended up actually, I actually tried to call in the Warrens on that case. I was kind of at a loss, I didn't know, and I have no, you know, I have no religious affliction myself. I can't do anything to make spirits go away, and I tried to get them involved, but it never really panned out, and the couple ended up selling the house. So that's unfortunate.
So it was burning flesh, feces, and vomit? Or were you checking out my college dorm room?
Your college dorm room.
You could have caught most of that there, I think. Oh, we actually have a call on the line for you again. This is Shay. Shay, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. What's your question for Steve?
Yeah, I was wondering if Steve had ever had the EVPs on the radio. The RVPs.
RVPs? Have I ever put EVPs on the radio? Is that what she's asking?
I'm not quite sure. Are you still with us, Shay?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
You're wondering if EVPs come through to him on the radio?
Yeah. RVPs. Radio voice phenomenon.
I see. So she's wondering if EVPs have ever come through the radio.
Probably the Hollywood version. Is that what you're referring to, where the radio takes over and starts talking to you?
No, they come through the static.
Oh, they come through the static. Okay.
Uh-huh. Oh, so that's like a white noise thing she's inquiring about.
A white noise kind of thing, not really. Yeah.
I've never tried to get EVP through the radio or through a television static. It's something I could try and see what the results are like, but I've never tried it, so I can't really give you an honest answer with that. Could they come through a radio? I don't see why not. I think just about anything's possible. But is it probable? Maybe not.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call, Shay. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be right back with more questions and answers for Steve and a special surprise.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I gotta pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
Tri Minnesota Mortgage was founded on one simple principle, to be your complete mortgage resource. Keith Troutman and the experts at Tri Minnesota Mortgage will assist you with all your needs. They've built a reputation for client satisfaction and are devoted to making the mortgage process as easy as possible. You get to work with a broker that understands your needs. Finding the right loan is only the beginning. Tri Minnesota Mortgage will assist you every step of the way to ensure smooth sailing with personal one-on-one help. I'm Dave Schrader, the host of Darkness on the Edge of Town. When I bought my new home, I turned to Keith Troutman to help me. He made what could have been a very stressful time easy and painless. He was considerate and realizes that this is more than just a job to him. It's the future for you. I recommend them to my friends, and I'm happy to recommend them to you. To take the first step to a financially free tomorrow, call 952-223-5000 or visit them on the web at cruiseatclose.com. For a fresh start, no matter what your current situation, call Keith at Tri Minnesota Mortgage. That's 952-223-5000. As Keith says, it's your money. Keep more of it. That's Tri Minnesota Mortgage, 952-223-5000.
Howdy, this is Don Raleigh from Evolve Systems. Evolve Systems can't help you lose weight. We don't know anything about diamonds, and we can't help you save a boatload of money on your car insurance. What we can do is help you with your merchant processing. We work with small businesses to provide credit card processing, debit card processing, gift cards, and check acceptance. Whether you need a point-of-sale system, a credit card terminal, or want to accept payments over the internet, Evolve Systems will work with your small business to find the right solution for your merchant processing needs. Ask us how you can get a free copy of QuickBooks 2006. You can reach us at 651-628-4000 or on the internet at www.evolve-systems.com. Now you have a friend. Well, not yet, but give us a call at 651-628-4000 and we can chat. Evolve Systems, where we help you to manage change. This is Don Raleigh. Cheers.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
I could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters, to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
The smell of voodoo hangs in the air. Either that or Dave and Tim had the seven bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
Welcome back to the darkness. Or whatever is hanging in the air on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Dave Schrader, along with co-host and silent co-host, Tim Dennis.
Hi.
There he is. See, he does exist, people. On the line with us this evening, we have a guest from the Sci-Fi Channel's hit TV series, Ghost Hunters, Mr. Steve Gonzalez. And Steve has been online with us, answering questions from both callers and emailers. We've got a couple more questions for him on the email side here, so let's get back to him. First question we have back for you, Steve, is from Chad from the Nocturne Society. He says he was wondering if you feel like there's a pressure to find evidence on investigations to make the show entertaining, or do they just take things as they come, haunted or not?
That's a good question. We take it as it comes, a haunted or not. When we came into the show, that's one thing that we made very, well, actually Jane Grant made, you know, very clear to the producers at Sci-Fi as well as the company that puts together the show, that they're going to, you know, show both sides of it. All ghost hunters know that you go in cases, 80% of the time you find nothing. And we wanted to air that just as much as we wanted to air when we find things. Does the offices in Los Angeles and Sci-Fi love when we find ghosts? Yeah, I think the audience and everybody that puts together the show loves it. But we think it's important to show the cases where you may not find evidence, but you counsel and help the families, and cases where you're able to debunk everything to show people that not everything is just a ghost. So I think that both ways works just as good for this show.
Our next question comes from Robin Bailey on the TAPS board. She's known as I Live to Write. She wants to know, from watching the show, it appears that you have many fears and phobias, bugs, spiders, heights, moths, and more. Which one freaks you out the most and why? And also, do you think that these fears ever hinder your ability to be the best paranormal researcher you can be?
I do have a lot of fears. I think my fear of heights and flying, they kind of go hand in hand, but I think that fear is my biggest problem. I was supposed to go and investigate castles in Ireland a few years ago, and I had to back out because I couldn't get on the plane. And a lot of stuff has happened where it would have been a lot better if I could fly. Spiders, I don't think it bothers me too much on the investigations. I kind of just go with it, and if there's going to be spiders there or whatever, I don't want to encounter them, but it won't really stop me from going somewhere. But the heights has been a hindering. We just recently did a lighthouse, and it took quite a bit for Jason and Grant to get me all the way up to the top of that. But other than that, I usually conquer them pretty quickly when we're on investigations.
Well, don't worry, Steve. I mean, the heights and fear of flight is common. I mean, even Mr. T had that problem on the A-Team.
He did. I just need that pill they gave him.
That's right. We'll just slip it into your milk.
Yeah.
Steve, we've got another call for you on the line. Amanda, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Amanda.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hi, Dave. I actually wanted to ask, I hope this makes sense. I've come across a lot of debate on religion when it comes to paranormal investigation, and I know that the members of TAPS come from many different religious backgrounds. I was wondering how any of you, if at all, can correlate your religious beliefs to those of the scientific nature of paranormal investigation.
Dave, could I have you repeat her question to me? I couldn't really hear her too much.
It was kind of cutting in and out on me again. Could you repeat that for us? I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was wondering if with the different religious beliefs, with the different members of TAPS, how you guys go about correlating your religious beliefs to those of the scientific nature of paranormal investigation.
Were you able to hear that a little better, Steve?
I couldn't make her out.
It's about, with all of the different religious beliefs you have in the TAPS organization,
okay,
how do you go about correlating those with the scientific approach as well? Is that what you're asking, Amanda?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
We're open to both sides, the religious side and the scientific side, and we kind of tend it to our clients. If the client is very religious and prefers to have someone come in and do a lot of blessings and do mostly EVP work and sensory perception work, then we'll go that route. If we have clients that aren't very religious and prefer pictures and video evidence, we do that, and we'll stay away from the religious aspect. Do we mix both on our own? Yeah. A lot of times we'll tell a client, you know what, a blessing, would never hurt. How could it possibly hurt the situation? So just do it just in case, even if they're not very receptive to it. And the scientific side, we tend to usually have, on just about every case, we'll have our EMF gauges and our video surveillance and our thermometers and our night vision and all that stuff. But we're very respective to the clients, and we kind of go with what they're more interested in.
Well, thank you, Steve. Appreciate the time that you spent with us this evening. Now, we do have with us, and I spoke to Steve about this briefly earlier this evening, we have a new addition to the show who will be more of a regular on the show as we go along. Her name is CJ Sellers. She's a local psychic and medium here in Minnesota. And she was a big fan of the show and a big fan of Steve's as well. And she has the ability to do similar to John Edward, Robert Baca that you heard a few weeks ago, where she can connect people with loved ones that have crossed over. And Steve agreed, if he's still okay with it, to let her kind of do a little reading for him.
Sure.
We'll take the next 5-6 minutes, have her do a little reading for you. We'll talk to you about it, and then we'll wrap up the show.
Okay.
CJ, this is Steve. Steve, CJ.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hi, CJ. How are you?
I'm just fine.
That's good.
The reading's okay with you?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's have some fun.
Okay. Have you had one done before?
I have. Not in the past few years, but I have.
Okay. Well, hopefully I can bring something through for you here.
Okay.
What I'm feeling right off is that I have something connected to your mom's side of the family, so keep that in mind.
Okay.
And now, is mom's dad crossed over?
I'm sorry?
Is mom's father crossed over?
No, he hasn't.
Okay. Okay, this is a male connected to mom's side of the family anyway.
Okay.
Now, they talk about healing also, so someone must be ill in the family, again, connected to mom. Usually this means a deep emotional healing, so there's things going on there.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay. Who's the D name connected to mom?
D.
Yes.
D. Let me think.
And you can't answer dad.
Yeah. You know what? That crossed my mind for a second. Dad. No,
that doesn't count.
I'm trying to think. I can't.
Okay. That's okay. We'll just bypass that and keep going here.
Okay.
Okay. Now, do you know, I don't want to get real personal here because we're on the air, but connected to your mom here, the healing, the emotional things, does this have to do with your mother?
Well, I tell you what, I had a cousin passed away on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Her name was Rhonda. You know, my mom, as well as my aunt, my grandmother, are very, very distraught.
Okay.
That could be...
Okay. You don't know where the D is connected there, though, to them?
I don't know.
Okay.
Her last name was Franco, so I don't.
Yeah, and you know, it wouldn't be the yeah. This is going to be a first name.
Got you.
Okay. Again, connected to mom. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a male on the other side connected to mom. This is an older male. I was assuming this would be like her father.
Okay.
So he's in that age group, so he's an older male gentleman.
Hmm. I don't know. I don't know who that would be.
That's all right. You don't always have to know.
Yeah.
You know how that is.
Yep, that's true.
They're pretty adamant on the D name, so I'm just going to trust what they say.
Okay.
Also, they're talking about somebody that would have worked with, they talk about a hammer, so they're talking about somebody that did building, okay?
Okay.
Somebody that would work with tools. Now, there's also... Dave's going to hate me for this one. There's a J connection. I hate using that one, but...
J Hawes. There's always a J connection.
There's a J name connection to this.
Hmm.
Okay. Again, okay. Connected to mom's side of the family. Again, an older gentleman.
Older gentleman named J. Now, I'm going to write this down, because even if it doesn't make sense to me, maybe it'll make sense to her.
And you know, the thing is with this is the message might not necessarily be for you directly, so...
Right.
Thank you for having an open mind.
Yeah, no, sweat.
You scare me, Steve.
I do?
Yes.
Why?
Because you're one of the ghost guys.
Oh, that should be scary.
Well, because you're cute. What
oh,
can
say? Thank you.
Oh, now we get to the answer.
Hey, now.
No, that shouldn't be scary either.
Well, if you saw who she had to sit here and look at and then know you're cute, Steve, you understand why it's scary.
There is a D connection here, however, and I know that... If you don't know who this is, it's someone connected to you. There is a D name. They're adamant about that.
Okay, a D name.
Mm-hmm. They're also giving me a B name connection to this. Now, it sounds like I'm throwing a lot of names out here, but, mm-hmm. You know, every time, they never let me down, there is a connection here between those names.
Well, my mom's sister, his name is Brenda.
Okay, so let's just kind of focus in on her for a second. Now, is... Okay, they're going back. Yep, it's mom's side of the family. They're at that B. Do you know where the D name connection is to Brenda?
D name?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
You know, they're holding me hostage here on that one. They're not going to let it go.
Do you see a season 3 for Ghost Hunters, Carol? I need to know.
Five.
We'd all like to know that.
I got the number 5, okay?
Hey.
Well, if I have anything to say about it.
And do you see a spinoff coming for Steve?
Spinoff, oh boy.
You know, this is very interesting, and it's probably public knowledge, but I get so much female energy around you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's... You get a lot of offers. That's what I feel.
Women offers?
Yeah.
I do. I do. I have a girlfriend, though, so she's the only offer I take.
Yeah, well, that puts a damper on it. But it's just nice to know.
Yeah.
I'll give you my phone number, Steve. You can just throw them my way.
Okay.
They're also bringing up an S name connection with us. It sounds to me like the name Scott. I'm not good with names. I'm going to be the first one to admit that, but it is an S name also connected to this.
Hey, you know what? I think I just may have placed the D name.
Okay.
I don't know if I can go back.
Yes, you can.
Okay. You know what? Brenda, who is my mother's mother's sister, who's the B name.
Mm-hmm.
Rhonda, who is the girl who died, her husband's name is Danny.
Okay.
He's still alive, though, but his name's Danny.
Okay. Well, they'll bring up people who are here as well as people who are crossed over. That's their way of just connecting and helping us to figure out who we're talking about here.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of emotional stuff going on. A lot of healing work that needs to be done for them.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, someone had just crossed over. I feel they probably want to come through. We don't have a lot of time here to get into the whole read. I'd love to read for you aside from this.
Sure.
You would let me do that.
Yeah.
Another offer from a woman, Steve.
There you go.
Dana.
See how it works?
It's just too cute.
All right, well, we'll hook you two up, get you a number on the side, so that way maybe CJ can speak to you and maybe go a little bit more in depth. I know maybe with the personal stuff, she doesn't want to get too much on the radio and let people know too much of your dirty laundry here, Steve. We'll be good. And for those of you interested, you can go to CJ Medium. That's the letters CJMedium.com. You can learn more about CJ there. We're going to be having her on the show in 2 weeks. She'll be doing readings, so if you have questions or want to connect with somebody on the other side, you can give us a call. We want to thank our very special guest this evening, Mr. Steve Gonzalez. Steve, we appreciate the time that you spent with us, and can you tell us, with the show coming up, we're about wrapping up the show, but is there any really cool evidence that you've been able to pick out this year for the second part of the season?
Yeah, awesome evidence. Awesome. Something that could maybe rival the full-bodied apparition we caught last season in Arkansas.
Wow.
But I'm not sure if anything will top that ever. But some really, really exciting stuff.
Great. I love that EVP you guys got, too, from the slave quarters.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
was amazing. I've never heard of it. It still gives me the chills whenever I watch the rerun of it. That's
that
fantastic.
Was in the Halloween
right.
special. Yep.
Exactly. Well, we'd love to have you back on the show again in the future.
I would love it. Dave, I just want to say that quality show you have here, and the listeners are lucky to have you on the air, that's for sure.
Well, thank you very much, Steve, and we appreciate your help. And again, if you want to order the magazine, Taps Para Magazine, you can go to tapsparamag.com. If you want to contact Steve's group in New England, it's New England Paranormal. Is that correct, Steve?
That's correct. Yeah.
NewEnglandParanormal.com, and you can contact any one of Steve's able-bodied companions there. They'll be able to help you out with anything that you have a problem with.
Yep.
You can also catch Ghost Hunters, I think, starting next week. Again, they'll start with the mini-marathon of Season 1. Then it'll be replaying out until the new season kicks off March 29th, I believe you said. Is that
right,
Steve?
That's right,
So March 29th, you can check that out. We appreciate the time that you spent with us. Just love having you guys on the show. You guys have been really good to us. You've been great to the fans. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it and how much I get letters from everybody saying how great you guys have been to everybody out there.
Well, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Not a problem, and you guys are welcome here anytime. Again, we do have a couple copies of the book The Fog available about the Bermuda Triangle. So if you would like a copy of The Fog, just give us a call at 612-375-1400. That's 612-375-1400. And again, for those of you that might not have heard the questions at the beginning of the show, we do have a contest going on for the book from Marianne Winkowski, The Real Life Ghost Whisperer. And if you want to get that copy of the book, the three questions I need answered are: who stars on Ghost Whisperer, the name of her character, and who was the special call-in guest we had last week that spoke with Marianne Winkowski? If you can answer those by emailing to dave@darknessradio.com. I'll be more than happy to get that copy out to you. The first person that answers the question. You've been listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Next week with us, we have Dr. David Morehouse, who's a very personal, very intriguing look into precognition and remote viewing. He's trained thousands of civilians, law enforcement, medical remote viewers, and he'll be on hand to teach us more about this mysterious ability. You're listening to 1470 AM KLBB Brooklyn Park.